We're going to start here with the last part of this tough choices message that we've been doing. Can I comment on something really quick? Thank you. You guys know this about me. I normally don't comment on political things, hardly ever, because I like to live. And I'd like to continue living as part of that. But I just want to just say one thing, and hopefully this is helpful. Just the recent ban on the immigrants, the refugees. I just found out about that. I know it just happened, but there's so many things happening right now, just with the world and politics, that I feel like I'm just constantly barely able to keep up. But I noticed that yesterday, and just like many of you, that kind of thing just kind of, it weighs on you, doesn't it? Just thinking about what that means. And I'll be the first person to say I don't understand all the implications, and I don't have, other people have information that I don't have, right? They don't tell me everything, by the way. But it just, again, it's kind of weighed on my heart. I was just reading some initial stories of, obviously this affects people, whether you agree with it or not, it has real implications. And I was reading a couple stories of families or mothers and kids who have like spent 18 months getting the visa to come here to flee their situation as a refugee, and who have sold everything that they have and have like no options where they came from, and who are now kind of caught in this limbo situation. And that's really, really difficult, isn't it? And I guess what I want to say is this, because it is complex and I don't have the answers. So I just want to encourage us as a church, number one, to pray. Just to pray for the situation and the state of affairs that we find ourselves in this world. I'd like to encourage us to learn, to take some time to listen to the other side. Like if you're a CNN or let me make it more extreme. If you're a Fox News person, I want to encourage you to maybe read some articles, read some other side. And conversely, if you're MSNBC or NPR or whatever, same thing. Perhaps we can learn. I find, because I do this, that, boy, they really do characterize things quite differently oftentimes. And so just be open to learning from the other side. And then I guess the main thing I want to say is we follow Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, I think we just have to at least once in a while stop and ask, what would Jesus do or say or be about in this situation? And maybe we go, I don't know what the answer is, and I'm not telling you the answer, but to at least be open to that. Is that okay to say? Yeah, I hope so. This is, you know, okay. But to really seriously ask, you know, what would his response and posture be in an obviously difficult, highly nuanced, complex situation? And with that, just remembering that our ultimate allegiance is the kingdom of God. That's it, ultimately, for all of us. And so what does that look like? What does that mean? I just want to invite you to wrestle with that with me and to be in prayer together about things like this that matter a great deal. Is that okay to everyone? Yes. All right. Now this should be easy after that, right? No, that wasn't. Okay. Well, I'm going to, like I said, wrap up this series. We've been talking about making good decisions and the importance of making good decisions. And as we've been saying, there are a lot of things that happen that in our lives that we don't have control over, things that just happen to us, like events and, you know, traumas and circumstances that just we didn't get to pick, but just, again, happened to us. And by the way, that's the kind of thing we usually focus on, isn't it? This, I don't have any control. This just happened. That's true. But there are also a whole lot of other things that we do have a choice. We actually have a say in. We get to choose our friends. We get to choose who we spend time with, our relationships. We decide whether or not we're going to go to college and where and what the major is going to be and what our career choice will be. We choose, you know, who we marry. We choose largely what we do with our time and with our money. And haven't you watched this play out with other people? Like, haven't you observed other people making, like, things that were within their domain, making choices and then facing consequences, and you're going, I thought you were smarter than that. Like that, really, that is what you're going to do with your money or in that relationship or that situation. We've all seen people go down a path relationally that they can't fix. We've seen people do things with their money that like there are implications that ripple out and affect lots of other things. And to be honest, we've all been there, haven't we? Like this is not just them. We have all been in places where we've made decisions and we ended up regretting it. We ended up hurting only ourselves. And then we look back on those moments and we go, you know, the crazy thing is nobody was forcing me to do that. Like that was my choice. I picked that myself. You know, there are certainly things you don't get to go back. I think that's kind of what I'm helping us hopefully to think about. There are some choices you don't get to go back and fix or undo. I mean, there comes a point when you don't get to magically go back and spend time with your family after your kids are gone. There comes a place where you can't just all of a sudden tighten finances and really focus on saving and put away enough money for whatever or retirement or whatever your goal is. I mean, there comes a point when you can't undo. I mean, you can't undo years of neglect with your health, how you've treated your body. I just recently got to do this kind of fitness testing thing through the Ball State's Human Performance Lab, and part of that was blood work. And the thing that blew me away more than anything else, and I learned lots of things, was that my cholesterol was like a little bit high. And I was like, are you sure you didn't mix it up? Like the first time, I'm 36 years old, it's the first time in my entire life where those numbers weren't all like perfect. I know, some of you are going, just you wait. Just wait. It just made me stop and think like, huh. Maybe I can't do absolutely whatever I want. So we'll see. I'm finding out. It's a little experiment that I'm doing. I'll let you know how it goes. The point, though, is we get to a place where there are choices we can't undo. We can't fix it. That's kind of depressing, isn't it? What if that was it? What if I was like, well, have a great day. We'll see you. The good news is we're not talking about the past. We're talking about today and the decisions in front of us right now. And some of you are facing these kinds of choices, some kind of a crossroads moment. Do you take the job or not? Because if you do, you got to move and there are implications in the school. And do you take the risk? Are you going to get married? And if not, what are we doing in this relationship? Change majors or not? Again, go back to school, you know, all these things, and perhaps some of you are facing them right now. And maybe you have a sense, and I think you're probably right, that the decision matters a lot, that there are consequences, there are implications for the path going forward that you choose. Here's the problem. I think a lot of us, with our decisions, we want to make the best choice, but we, from our vantage point right now, we don't know what the consequences are fully. Because sometimes you just have to make a decision and then find out what the consequences are, right? And sometimes that's soon. Like I just finished a seminary class this week and I got to a place where I was like, I can't do all these things at the same time. So I had to email my professor and say, basically, I'm having to choose. I'm not asking you I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying I have to choose between a lesser of two evils. One being drop the ball on like my family and church commitments. Two, do some things in this class that are not awesome. And so I'm choosing the latter and I'm turning in some things late, accepting the consequences because in that case, I'll find out like Wednesday how that worked out. I'll let you know. But with bigger things, we move down a path and we don't know necessarily sometimes for years, months or years, what the effect of that is going to be. Now, I just want to, one more thing, we're jumping in here, I promise. The past couple of weeks, just to be fair, have been largely about not screwing up. If you kind of picked up on that theme, just don't mess up. And, you know, essentially not letting our emotions get the best of us when we're in high-stakes decision-making mode. Not letting emotion cloud our judgment. We've all agreed together that we can all basically sell ourselves on anything. We all have that. We were born with that ability. to convince ourselves of absolutely anything. And so I've been challenging us, it's worth in these moments stopping and asking, why am I really doing this? And am I feeling rushed? Because it turns out God's usually not in a rush. It's about stopping and asking, do I feel any inner tension or hesitation? Do I recognize, if I'm really honest, that I'm about to cross a line because there's something I want and I don't have it, and this is a shortcut, and I'm going to cross some boundaries morally, ethically, that I've already decided I don't want to cross. These are all huge red flags that we need to get on a different path. And I wanted to start with that because you would be amazed at the clarity you would get just by doing those things that we've talked about. Like instant clarity, oftentimes. And I don't have a percentage for you, but I'm convinced that more than half of the battle, 72%, I just made that up, more than half the battle is in simply not being our own worst enemy when it comes to these choices. Just getting out of our own way. We'd be so much better off. We'd have less pain and regret and fewer lessons that we had to learn the hard way. So today I want to look at the other side of this. Basically, what we've looked at in the past 2 weeks, you don't even have to be a Christian and you can benefit from this. Like, it's just kind of general truth, general revelation that applies pretty much to anyone. This next part has a lot to do with those of us here who believe in God and who are trying actually to, in some meaningful way, follow him. And so that's for us this morning. See, sometimes we get to a crossroads and we just want as much information as we can get. And so we go about and we weigh the pros and the cons. We talk to other people. You don't even have to be told when you're in this moment to pray. Like, you just do. Like, God, make it clear to me. Show me what path to take. I'll do anything. I'll go to church 4 Sundays in a row. I mean, that's crazy. Just make it clear and I'll do whatever. But I think perhaps God is looking at this from a completely different angle. I mean, all of our questions of what do I do, I think he gets that, and that's fine, but perhaps God is saying, there's a better question. There's a bigger perspective on all this that I think God wants to teach us. So we're going to look at an insight from the Old Testament book of Proverbs. It's part of the Old Testament's wisdom literature in the Bible. And before we get there, I just want to give you some context about where these words are coming from, because it makes a difference knowing the source. There are 31 Proverbs, and they're all actually pretty short. And how many of you have read? Some of you read some of the Proverbs? Just show hands. A few of us? Lots of us? Okay. You read those, and I don't know about you, but I find myself going, this is kind of amazing, right? I mean, there are so many insights about people and relationships and dynamics. It's like, whoever wrote this spent a lot of time at the airport just watching people, right? There's a lot of people watching, and someone very perceptive to be able to draw all these connections between cause and effect and relationships and our choices. It's actually amazing. Yeah, there's parts of Proverbs where you're going, is somebody following me? Like, just taking notes on my life? I mean, how did this person know this is what life is like? Well, the book of Proverbs is written by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon, he was the third king of Israel. And because he, early on in his life, because he honored God, and there was some key moments when he chose to obey God, to do what God said, God, and this doesn't happen a lot, so don't count on this, God goes to Solomon and says, because you've obeyed me, you've put me first, ask me for anything, and I'll give it to you. Like a blank check. Whatever you ask for, Solomon, is yours. Can I ask for 1,000 more wishes? Now, Solomon, he thinks for a minute, and then he says to God, he says, I'm like a child. I mean, how can I rule this kingdom that you've given me? And so he says, give me a discerning heart to govern, to know right and wrong. Solomon says, I want to be able to be in rooms with people who are much older, much wiser than me, and have wisdom beyond my years. And so, Lord, please give me discernment and wisdom to make good government you know, ruling decisions and also to make good life decisions. And this is God's response in 1 Kings chapter 3. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, I guess people would, that would be something, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. So even wiser than Jesus. I'm just messing. Just messing with you. But wise, right? Very wise. And then God says, on top of all that, because you didn't ask for wealth or honor or fame or any of these other things, I'm gonna give you wealth. I'm gonna give you honor. And then, you know, I don't know how you think about this stuff. Like, does that really happen? And maybe for some of you, that seems like a bit of a stretch. Listen, when you read the books he actually ended up writing, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, you read them, you find yourself going, well, and maybe it did. Maybe that happened. There's an awful lot of wisdom contained. My favorite example illustrating Solomon's wisdom was the time two women came to Solomon. Some of you know this story. And they want to solve their heated dispute. And here's their dispute. Both women were claiming that the same single, like, baby was theirs. That's kind of a problem. And back then, of course, there's no DNA testing, no way to prove definitively who the child belonged to. And so Solomon just goes, all right, bring me a sword, cut the baby in two, and that way you each get a half, okay? It sounds like he just couldn't be bothered to even try. And the first woman immediately goes, no, 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 please. Please don't do that. Please don't harm this baby. She can have him. And the second woman's like, well, she said it. Right? See? So, baby's mine. And Solomon goes, wait. The baby belongs to the first woman. That is his true mother, because only a true mother would rather give away her child than to see harm come to him. And everyone went, dang, right? A little bit unorthodox, but effective. So look what Solomon, and the reason I told you that, this is the wisest person in the world. Look what he has to say about our choices. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Right, so far, so good. Now he gets more specific in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Pause. If anyone could have leaned on his own understanding, you could add experience, insight, knowledge, wisdom, all the above. If anyone could have relied on that, who would it be? Solomon, wisest person ever. He had incredible insight and understanding. And Solomon says, that's not enough. Lean not on your own understanding. In the next part, he says, in all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, submit to him. Some of you memorized this at some point in your life, and chances are you memorized another, there are actually other translations that use the word in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's fine. I mean, you get the idea. The problem with acknowledge is that kind of sounds like what I say when my kids aren't listening, or like I'm talking, getting nothing back, and I'm like, acknowledge me, right? Remember saying that to your parents? And you're like, I heard you, right? So acknowledge, maybe submit is a better translation here is what I'm saying, because it means to honor, it means to obey. Actually, in Hebrew, the idea of submit is to be riveted, like locked in on God and what God's asking in all of our life. And again, and this is worth pausing because when it comes to our decisions, oftentimes we're looking to submit to God maybe in that area. And what's he saying here? Are we talking about one specific instance? No, we're talking about all areas, all of our life. And so here's what I think happens. This is why I think this matters for us. See, we come to a crossroads, we come to a decision point, and we really, really want to know what God is saying. Right back to that, well, what do I do? What do I do? Make it clear. And the problem is that there are these other areas of our lives where we're not obeying God, and we know, we actually know what he's saying, and we're ignoring it. And we come to God even though we're disregarding his way in other areas, and we need discernment, and we need his help. And God's going, well, what about this other part over here? Like, I already told you about that, and you're not doing it. And what do? We say, God, we're not talking about that right now. I need you to focus. Focus on this thing that I need help on, please. And Solomon says, nope, it's actually connected. You can't compartmentalize. You can't have areas of your life where you're kind of locking the door to God and then asking for his help and his insight in other areas. And so here's the promise. He goes on, if we'll stay riveted to him, open to him, following him with all of our lives in all of our ways, if we'll do that, then he will make your path straight. Now, here's something I believe to be true about God, but I don't necessarily have to like it. I think God has an uncanny ability of knowing when we're just considering our options. I think he knows. Like, I think he knows when we're saying to him, God, I need you to show me your direction so that I can consider it. So that I can kind of put it in my basket of options. I've got some options on the table. Put what you say into that. I think God knows when we're doing this. God will get back with you once I make a decision. What if God isn't interested in giving us direction just for you to think about it? Like, what if God's not saying to us, well, since you're in the decision-making mode, if I were you, right? What if he's looking for something way bigger than that? I think sometimes we're trying to decide, we're praying about it, we're not getting clarity. And so what we immediately think is, well, God must not want to communicate about this. Or maybe God's not capable of communicating. The problem, though, with that is we're not talking about God's lack of ability to communicate. Who do you think invented communication? Okay, God, which means he's probably decent at it. Maybe even the best, right? So he's perfectly capable of making his desires known. And we read throughout Scripture, he cares about us. He wants us, I mean, John 10:10, I have come that you would have life to the full. Like, he absolutely wants the best for each one of us in every area. And so what if God actually loves to give guidance and direction? But the catch is this. He doesn't give it just so that we could consider it. He gives guidance, he gives direction, he makes the path straight, assuming there will be some kind of participation, action, or follow through. See, the problem isn't God being unwilling to communicate. The problem is, most of the time, we're not quite sure we want to follow through. And I think God knows that. I think he knows when we're sitting back looking over our options. When we're saying to God, basically, I'm not sure I want to actually do what you're going to say. I'm not sure I actually want to do your will. But I'd like to know what it is. I don't know. Just in case. I think God's saying something like, that's not the game that I'm into. If you'll trust me with all your heart. If you'll be faithful. I know you don't know about this, but you know about these other areas. If you'll be faithful with what you do actually know, then I'll make your path clear. In other words, you're not going to be able to miss it. You can't miss it if your life depended on it. So here's my main point, and we're going to just talk about this in a couple different ways. Many times, this is the takeaway, I think God waits to speak to us until we are at a place where we can say honestly, God, I don't care what you say, my answer is yes. My answer is yes. What do you want me to do? Solomon says God will guide you and he'll direct you. But he wants to know first that you are riveted to him in all of your ways. Is this making sense? This is not exactly how we think about it. Because when we're trying to make a decision, sometimes we just go to God, we want to compartmentalize, we want the genie in the bottle. We want the, you know, whatever it is we do to hear from God. And I think there's a much bigger thing that God wants us to see. We want to see first, clearly. And then once we've got it all laid out and all the consequences, then we'll act. And Scripture says it's the exact opposite. According to this, we actually receive direction and we receive insight in direct proportion to how much we've submitted ourselves to Him in all of life. And so the first step is in being obedient to what we already know. Only then can we see what's next. I think what this comes down to at a practical level is that God just wants us to get to a place where we are so neutral and so humble, we're ready to hear whatever He has to say. This is why, by the way, people who are broken can sometimes do this better. People who've come to a place because of their choices and there's this chaos and wreckage all around them who are going, I dare not make another decision on my own because look what's happened. And so, God, I want what You want. Oftentimes, people who are at rock bottom, it's like they're like in a place to hear, like, my answer is yes. I'm not going to get my hands in there and mess anything else up. What do You want me to do? God, my answer is yes. Show me what to do. So I think He's waiting to get us neutral enough to see that we're neutral enough where we want His will. Now, some of you, again, you're in the middle of making a choice. It's a relationship choice. It's a career choice. It's a go back to school. It's, you know, any number of really life, you know, huge implications for your life. And maybe it occurs to some of you right now, like, huh, I'm not actually doing that. Like, I'm kind of trusting in myself. I want some input from God. That'd be nice. But I more or less am approaching God like, I can handle this. Like, I can figure this out. And so Solomon adds one more line I want to show you, which I think is helpful. By the way, just in case you're not getting this, do not be wise in your own eyes. So this is Solomon's way of saying, hey, I understand that you've got 20 years of experience, okay? I know you've got like 3 kids and you have all this information, you've got all the knowledge, you've got all the insight, you've read the books, you've had all the relevant experience. That's not what this is about. And that stuff's great. Just don't be wise in your own eyes. It's not enough. One more layer to this, interestingly, do you know what happened to Solomon later in his life? He basically forgot all this, right? He disobeyed God. He kind of got proud. He grew arrogant. He thought he could make decisions. He thought he just disregarded everything he knew to be true in his head. And his life went off the rails, and it was a very, very sad ending. And the kingdom was split, and wars were fought because of his disobedience, and it ruined his legacy. Sadly, he didn't take his own advice. He didn't acknowledge God in all of his ways. Instead, he leaned into his understanding, which was very, very good. And this, by the way, explains why we see smart people do dumb things. Right? And you go, how? What were you thinking? Well, there's more to it than that. There's a bigger question. Are you submitted to God in all of your ways? Because if not, your pride is going to override your wisdom. Eventually, your arrogance is going to push out God's voice and your ability to discern what He's actually saying. Apart from God, we eventually choose the wrong path. And if He did it, pretty sure I'm susceptible to the same thing. So I want to give just a few final practical tools for those of us kind of going forward, wrestling with which way do I go. The first is simply pray for indifference. That sounds like a negative thing, right? That's how we usually associate indifference with, like, oh, I don't care, or like, whatever. But with this, when it comes to being wide open to the will of God, there's actually a lot of really, really rich meaning here. Basically, it's saying, God, I need to be in a place where I am absolutely indifferent to the outcome. Recognizing I don't feel indifferent, because I feel like I've got some stuff at stake, and I've got an agenda, and I have a reputation to protect, or whatever that is. It's about getting to a place where we can say honestly, God, I want Your will and nothing less. Nothing more. nothing else. And I don't think we can get here without God's help. I think we have to ask for this. I think there are all kinds of reasons where we act like our own worst enemy. And if we're not going to be indifferent, like truly open, then everything else that we do, whether it's asking for guidance from friends or weighing the pros and cons or going to, all of that just amounts basically to a rigged election, right? We're just working against ourselves. We have a vested interest in things going a certain way. By the way, in praying for indifference, that might mean that God tells us to do something that doesn't make sense to us. Like God could say something that goes against conventional wisdom or that seems foolish to us or to other people. So sometimes all we can do is pray and wait for this. Maybe the most honest thing that you can do as you're at this crossroads, do I say yes or no, move or not, you know, whatever, is to say, God, I'm clearly not indifferent. I have some strong opinions, some strong emotions, lots at stake. So God, I want to wait until I'm absolutely open and indifferent. And you know what that waiting feels like? Kind of dark, kind of scary, but at the same time, deeply, deeply right. Yeah. Scripture, give Scripture a voice. Is there anything from what you know of Scripture have been told that's speaking into this choice? We know God's general will because he's revealed it in Scripture. We know a lot about who God is and what God wants from the Bible. And so if there's anything that speaks to where we are that's already been written in context, then we've got to go with that. This is about the whole in all your ways submit to him thing. In other words, maybe God's not super interested in giving us his specific will if we're ignoring the big picture, what he's already said. I heard somebody say it this way, that surrender to the known will of God paves the way of understanding the unknown will of God. Paves the way to discovering the unknown will of God, what we're trying to ask. Number three, consider your character growth and development. I think sometimes we get so focused on the decision that we forget that maybe God has something bigger in mind, and that's like what he's trying to do in me, how he's trying to grow my character and develop me and make me more loving, more patient, generous, kind, faithful, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. And so maybe we stop and we ask, how does this decision and the choices in front of me, how do they contribute to that work? Do they grow my character, or is this pulling me away? Is it pulling me farther away from love, from peace, from self-control, these things that God is wanting to instill in me? Number four, embrace a kingdom perspective. Does the choice in front of me reflect something that is eternal and permanent? Or is it something, does the choice that I'm wanting to make look more like transient and impermanent? Is this choice consistent with who I know, the heart and the mind of Jesus and his redemptive purpose in the world? Or on my deathbed, what choice would I wish that I had made? By the way, this question right here, the kingdom perspective, this is why, for example, some parents choose to take pay cuts and travel less or whatever it is to spend more time at home. It's why some people choose to downsize to be more generous. It's why people sometimes choose to tell the truth, even though it's detrimental to perhaps their income, their career. It's why some people choose to work on rather than bail out of a difficult marriage. It's why people speak out against injustice when it would be easier to remain silent. Embrace a kingdom perspective. And then lastly, look for peace and confirmation. It's asking this question, God, which choice brings me the greatest sense of, a sense of your peace, like on the inside, brings inner confirmation that I'm on the right path? In other words, with this choice, is there a growing sense of wholeness, of authenticity, of congruence with who you've made me to be, who I want to end up being based on my identity in you? Or is this choice pulling me away? At some point, we all come to a place where you've got to decide, and maybe the choice isn't clear. Maybe your problem is you have like two really good options. And so I think there are times when God just says, he invites us to make a choice. like on the inside, and just to live with that for a moment. Like, decide in your mind, don't go out and do it immediately, but just allow God to bring inner peace and confirmation. Is this who God created me to be? And so I think it's very wise to take time when you do this, just to take some time between deciding in your heart and then living that out. There have been times in my life when I've made the decision and gone, without actually making the decision, and gone, well, that was not right. And then other times, I've made the same decision, or in a different situation, made a decision, and it's like, yeah. And a week later, I'm like, I have peace. I think this is God's path, what he wants for me, and so I'm going to move forward and put it in motion. I want to invite the band to come on up. Here's a last verse. Jesus says this, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." As we wrap this up, here's what I want you to hear. We are so focused many times in making decisions on what is the answer, what is the choice. And what I've been trying to drive out this morning is that maybe God's saying, yeah, but you've forgotten about me. And that the fact that I want you to know me as a result of this. And I think the other thing that's true from the Proverbs thing is sometimes we want to, oh, we'll get to know God and then we'll know his will. What he's saying, what Solomon is saying is no, as you obey him, as you submit to him, his will becomes a lot clearer. Then you begin to see that better. And in experiencing that, we have clearer insight and we know him better. So Jesus says, trust me, focus on the things that I'm focused on, and God will take care of the rest. You make it your priority to be about me and what I'm about, and God will give you everything that you need. The point this morning is that we don't just need information. We don't just need information. We need God. And the invitation is to trust in him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding only, your own experience, education, insight, knowledge, whatever it is. In all of your ways, submit to him. God, I want what you want, or at least I want to want what you want. All your ways, be riveted to him, locked in on him. And the promise, if you do this, is that he will make clear your choice. Would you stand? We'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the gift of wisdom that you make available to us. And you give that to us even if we're not following you. That's a gift that you give us. But Lord, beyond that, you actually want to reveal who you are and what you want for us. And so I pray that you would give us the courage to be honest about the fact that maybe there are areas where we haven't acknowledged you, we haven't submitted to you, we're not locked in on you and what you want. So help us to take care of that first. But help us to come to a place where, to the best of our ability, we are trying to honor you and submit to you in every area of our life. And then, Lord, may we begin to see how you're guiding us in the particulars, in the dilemma, in the crossroad in front of us. And may in all things, may we honor you with our lives and our choices. May we seek first you and your kingdom, knowing that you're going to take care of the rest, trusting that you're going to take care of the rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.